Welcome to Producer Profiles, a production of Native American Public Telecommunications, with support from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Here's NAPT Production Assistant Ben Kramer.
Brian Trulio is the producer and director of the new documentary, Racing the Rez, a film about contemporary life on the Navajo Nation, America's largest Indian reservation. The film captures the perspectives and experiences of Navajo and Hopi boys who run high school cross-country in Tuba City and Chinle, Arizona. For these boys, running provides an escape from the stress of teenage life on the reservation. Here is the interview from February 2012.
Racing the Rez is really about the transformative potential of cross-country running, and it follows the rivalry between two high school teams, both on the Navajo and Hopi reservation, Tuba City and Chinle, two teams that have excellent programs and are state championship rivals. And both teams also have coaches who use the sport and the tradition behind the sport to give the kids the tools they need to face a lot of the challenges they confront growing up on the reservation.
You're from New Jersey, and you first traveled to the Navajo and Hopi reservations in 1991 as part of a college assistant teaching program.
That's right. Yeah.
What did that entail?
I went to college in Pennsylvania, and I took a really engaging Native American cultures class, and it really drew me in. At the end of the class, the professor said, our school did these things called January programs in between semesters, where for a month different departments went and had different kind of off-campus programs. And he said to me, well, the education department does they do an assistant teaching program on the Navajo reservation. That's pretty much how it started. I went out and did the assistant teaching program in a very small town called Shonto, in Shonto, Arizona, on the reservation at the Shonto boarding school. And I absolutely loved it. It was freezing cold, plenty of snow. January on the Navajo reservation is can be pretty intense, but didn't bother me at all. And I absolutely loved the kids. I loved the culture. And, I was really taken by it right away. I did it again the next January in 92 and made some really, good friends out of that experience and went back periodically since then.
And so did the concept for this film come out of the time that you spent out there? Or how did this film come to be?
I always had it in the back of my mind that I would love to return with a project or a film someday. And when I lived in Ireland for 5 years, and shortly after I returned from Ireland in 2006, I wanted to do a cross-country documentary. And then I was reminded of my experience being out on the reservation. And as soon as it occurred to me, I contacted my old friends out there, and they said, yeah, absolutely, you have to come out here and do it. So it really is an intersection of two interests. My interest in the cross-country documentary really went back to my own experience in high school, because I lost a teammate and a very, very close friend when I was in high school, and ultimately running really helped get me and also many of my teammates through the experience of losing somebody that young. And I knew that running had had that kind of a powerful effect on me, and I was looking to see if it also was having that effect on other young people. That's naturally why I turned to the reservation, because I thought there must be somebody on the reservation who's using the sport, in a similar way. And eventually I settled on that Chinle and Tuba City, mainly because of the two coaches who I contacted there, Carl Perry in Tuba City and Sean Martin in Chinle, and both of them were very welcoming, and I could tell from my first phone call with them and their philosophy about running and helping the kids that something good must be going on in their program.
In the following soundbite from Racing the Rez, Tuba City cross-country coach Carl Perry rewards his runners for their efforts during the last race.
We are going to begin today with our weekly awards. I'm getting around a lot of bling today. Let's start with Mr. Herschel Lester. 33 seconds. Improvement. Ryan Yazzie went from fast to even faster. He took 59 seconds off his finish from last year.
I'm curious about the powerful effect of running, because I personally am a runner and I know what you're talking about. But
yeah, sure.
For somebody who is not a runner. Can you go more into what running does, not only to the body, but to the mind? And the film kind of explores this, but can you kind of talk about that?
For me, running, and especially, you know, we're talking, you know, about long distance running here, is really a form of meditation, I think. To spend a half hour, an hour or more running, that's all time that you're spending essentially with yourself. What happens in high school is that it can provide a young boy or a young girl the kind of space that they might not otherwise have, because you are going to do some of your training with your teammates, but you know, if you really want to compete, there's a fair amount of that training that you do on your own. And I think that at such a young age, to have all of this time where you're running with yourself, you know, you start this dialogue with yourself, to experience that at such a young age, I think is really helpful, you know, especially as we all know, teenagers, and when we were all teenagers, you know, there's a lot that you're trying to figure out. So I think, you know, specifically in my case, when you suffer the loss of a really close friend at a young age, running creates that kind of meditative time and space that allows you to think about that and to really process it and meditate on it.
In the following soundbite from Racing the Res, Tuba City cross-country state champion Ryan Yazzie talks about why he runs.
When I run, it's like a stress reliever. Like, you just get away from everything. Don't have to worry about anything at home.
In the film, there are moments where some of the boys reveal on camera what their internal struggles are and what they're going through. And it's not easy. I mean, I remember, I'm almost 23, but I remember being a teenager, and it's difficult to open up sometimes. And some of the subjects that these boys were talking about were really, I mean, they were dealing with death in the family. And so there has to be a strong relationship between you and these boys in order for this dialogue to happen. And so I'm wondering, what was it like getting to know the boys in the film?
It was a fantastic experience. There's barely words that I can use to describe it. It was really incredible. All of the boys in the film showed tremendous amount of courage in the things that they shared with me, but it was a slow process, and I spent 2 years filming out there. The relationship that I built with them was really a result of the time that I spent out there. I was out there for 4 months in each year. You know, I was also running with them occasionally, and there's no doubt that running with somebody is a great way to build a bond, because it's a great time to have a conversation, and, you know, I think I've had some of my best conversations out running with people. But ultimately, I was just very patient with them, and I wanted them to see that I was there for them to share whatever they wanted to share. You know, I wasn't prying or trying to force things out of them. And so I would go, you know, every couple of weeks I would say, hey, can I come over on Saturday and, you know, let's just do an interview for a half hour or an hour or whatever. And, you know, we would just talk. And after I had built the trust with them, and after they saw my commitment that I was there to really tell their story as accurately as I could, they just opened up. And I think part of it is that they needed to share this stuff and wanted to share it.
In the following soundbite from Racing the Res, Tuba City runner Dennis Klain talks about the death of his brother.
My brother passed away, and we just found him in his room. It scared me a lot, seeing him laying there. He got injured on a job. He cut his leg with a skill saw. The doctor gave him pills, and he was taking those, and I guess he was feeling a lot of pain, and he got more pills, so he was taking more than he was supposed to. And I guess it was just like an accidental overdose.
Even when I watch it, I'm still amazed at how open they were. And, you know, emailed a couple of them, and just to say, hey, you know, I just want you to know that some of the tough stuff you talked about is going to be in the video. And all of the boys that I wrote to wrote back, surprisingly, with the same message, which was, I told you that because I wanted to share that, and I want people to know about it.
So now we'll kind of go in a slightly different direction and
sure.
Go into your media background. Is this your first documentary?
Yeah, this is my first feature-length documentary.
What attracted you to working with video for storytelling?
I came to documentary and to video through a kind of an odd route, but I went to graduate school in a photography program that also had film and video. And I was really, in the beginning, looking to use video in installation art. And it just so happened that the program that I was in hired a Slovak documentary filmmaker. And I took his class, and I was completely taken and completely sold. What really sold me is that coming from an Eastern European documentary tradition is a bit different than from, say, the standard American tradition, in that they really approach documentary more from a film and photography angle, more so than in America. In America, the approach tends to come out of journalism. And being a photographer, I saw potential there. I saw that there was something else that could be done with documentary. And from there, I went on to do an internship with a small documentary company in Ithaca, New York, that was headed up by a cameraman who was Polish, so coming out of the same kind of Eastern European tradition. And that's where I really learned how to do verite-style documentary, and the style that I absolutely love. And I quickly found my place as an editor. I really enjoyed editing. That's pretty much what I've been doing for about 14 years.
I'm curious about the approach that you take to video then. Installation art was your original goal for video. Do you think that you see the video differently?
Absolutely. I think that it has more to do with what I'm open to filming or what I find interesting. Sometimes I come across like an interesting insect or something, you know, and I'll happily spend 10 minutes trying to follow this little guy around. One thing I was really intent on expressing in the film, and I think my editor, Sean Sandifer, did a really good job of kind of managing to sneak in or work in a lot of the dogs on the reservation. You know, res dogs are everywhere. I shot a lot of dogs, and, you know, he managed to work those in. I loved when I would come to the high school and somebody's let out their horses so that they could graze on the high school's lawn. And I would stop and take the time to shoot that stuff. You know, Chinle and Tuba City are 2 hours apart, and while you're driving, you see all kinds of beautiful things. So, you know, sometimes the moon looks really nice. Sometimes you get these really nice cloud formations. You know, and I would stop and take the time to film those kinds of things.
You said that you've been primarily an editor for about 14 years. Is there a particular type of video that you prefer to edit? Or what kinds of editing have you done? What kinds of projects?
I've primarily done documentary, but I've worked on a couple of features. I edited one fiction short. I worked on two documentaries that eventually went on to POV. I was an assistant editor on a documentary on school prayer. Funny enough, I think I have a terrible case of beginner's luck. That documentary actually went on to win an Emmy. And the second project that I worked on as a full editor was called Fence Line. I think as an editor, it's most rewarding, in my opinion, to work in documentary, because you really are shaping the story in editing.
Do you have any final remarks about Racing the Res?
My secret wish for Racing the Res is that I want to make cross-country much cooler to high school kids. I really want to encourage kids to go out there and run and participate in the sport. But ultimately, I'm really honored that these boys and their families welcomed me into their home and were frank and honest with me and had the courage to share a lot of their experiences, because I think it's important that people know what it's really like growing up on the reservation today.
That was Brian Trulio talking about his most recent documentary, Racing the Res. For more information about Racing the Res, visit the Coming Attractions page at nativetelecom.org and the film's Facebook page at facebook.com/racingtheres.
Support for this program was provided by Native American Public Telecommunications through the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Interviews were conducted and edited by Ben Kramer, theme music written and performed by Jim Boyd. Thank you for tuning in to this edition of NEPT's Producer Profile.